This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Have you studied the universe? Have you studied science? How can you study science and believe in a God? How can you study science and believe in religion? They're the ones asking the question. And the fun thing is,
when najmi idha hawa مَا ضَنَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was a streaming service that brought you closer to the Quran? Bayana TV strives to do just that, with over 2,000 hours of enlightening content centered on the Quran and Arabic. Make learning a habit. Tap now to get Bayana TV for yourself today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. أفرأيتم اللات والعزى ومناة الثالثة الأخرى ألكم الذكر وله الأنثى تلك إذا قسمة ضيزى إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Amma ba'd, once again, everybody, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. So what I first want to do before we go to section two is we're going to take an overview of the structure and the organization of the ayat 1 to 18. And I want to show you that by way of this presentation. So the first thing we read was Allah swore by the star, of course, the al-Najm. And he said that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not lost. And it's an inhuwa illa wahyun yuha. It's a mighty revelation that's been given to him. Fine. The second subject was that the one who taught him is the mighty one, Shadidul Quwa, the Dhumirratin, and that he came close to him. Right? ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Then you see, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. His heart didn't lie. And are you doubting him? أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى. Are you doubting him about what he saw? Are you casting any confusions about that? Then we saw that he's the second viewing. Remember, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى إِذْ يَغْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى. Then at the end we see مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. The eye didn't deviate. It wasn't mistaken. It didn't get blurred. And he saw one of Allah's greatest signs. So these are the pieces of the material we've covered so far from ayah number 1 to ayah number 18. Now I colored this a certain way because I want to show you something. The beginning is he's two things. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. He's not lost, he's not deviated. Two things are negated, two negative things are negated. And if you look at the very bottom, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. The eye didn't deviate and the eye didn't cross limits. You see the perfection of those two things meeting each other, the top and the bottom. And in the top, he said, he gave him, in huwa illa wahyun yuha, he gave him a mighty revelation that Tanween was giving Azma. And at the end, he said, he showed him or he saw one of Allah's greatest signs. So what I'm saying is the opening first four ayat have a really close connection to the last two ayat. They're complementing each other. Now you notice the middle section is also a similar color, right? I colored it the same way. This is مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى. The heart didn't lie about what he saw. So now if you take the first section, the third section, and the fifth section, it's all the negations together. What are they? مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. First section. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. Middle section. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا تَغَى. Final section. 1, 3, and 5. So the pieces of this that are missing now are 2 and 4. When you look at the second section, you find he meets with the mighty angel and he has this first meeting, and you look at the second one and at section four, and that's the second meeting. So what I'm saying is, in these 18 ayat, there's actually a really beautiful architecture. Okay, so if you label this as, you know, A, B, C, D, and E, it's like A and C and E are connected, and then B and D are connected. You see that? So you find similar and variations of structures in the Quran, and it really helps with a concept that Mufassirun talk about. This is, by the way, my own work. This is not from a tafsir book. So if you come afterwards and say, where did you get this from? I will answer you the way that my daughter used to answer when I used to say, why did you do that? And she used to say, from my brain. That was her answer. So I have the same answer for you. I'm sorry. This is my own work. I run it by my colleagues and discuss it with them. And this is a fascination of mine, the structure of the arguments and the material in the Quran. And I do find that it has an intricate, remarkable structure. Anyway, so that was a quick, brief comment to give you an idea of what's happening in the first section of the surah. Now we're going to get to the second section. And in this section, we're going to see an immediate connection with what happened before with the words afara'aytum, but I'll talk about that at the end. Right now, in this 30-minute brief session before Salah, I want to get through some quick Wikipedia facts. They're not from Wikipedia, what I'm saying. Just information that you just got to get, just listen to it. You don't have to write everything down or take pictures or nothing. I'm just going to walk through it. And you need to know something about three gods, three goddesses, actually, that Allah will talk about that the Arabs believed in. Okay? Those are Lat, Manat, and Uzza. This ayah will have Lat and Uzza, and the third one, Manat, is going to be in the next ayah. Okay? So we don't know a lot about these idols, but there's a famous ancient book, Hisham al-Kalbi's, Ibn al-Kalbi's Kitab al-Asnam, the Book of Idols, where he actually did research whatever he could find on every idol. There's some kalam about the reliability of the information in it, because we're talking about pre-Islamic Arabia, and we know that the Muslims, when Allah gave Islam victory, we destroyed the temples and all of that, right? So the ancient history of those religions, we have less and less of that information. So the little information we have, I'm going to share with you some of those snippets. So the Kaaba was the main temple for idols, but the Arabs actually had temples all over Arabia. And so they kept idols usually in temples. And because they saw the Kaaba as the main idol, they used to I'll get to that later. Sometimes they would take the idol and make it into like a human form, like a person standing with a sword or a woman, you know, draped up or whatever. They would have these figures as idols. Or sometimes it would just be like a stone, like a large stone, like a cube-shaped stone, or like a large tall stone, like Stonehenge type stuff, right? That would be the shape of the idol. Now, they would put the idol, they had two possible choices. They would either put it in front of the Kaaba somewhere, or if they couldn't do that, they would give it some other temple somewhere near their own location, or pick, or even add multiple idols in like a different temple. So if this idol was for a certain goddess, but you know, construction is expensive, so can you roommate with this other goddess and you guys can both share? So they did that sort of thing. Real estate was tough back then too. Okay, so now the classifications. If they were just made of stone and they were not carved up, like it wasn't like an amazing, like a Buddha type looking thing or whatever, then they would call it ansab. They would call it ansab. But if they resembled a bird, a snake, a person or whatever, then they were called authan or asnam, which are both words that are used in the Quran. All three of these are used in the Quran, right? But that's the naming scheme that they used. Now, because they used to do tawaf around the Kaaba, they figured that that's the right way to do any worship. So any temples they had in Arabia, they used to do tawaf there too. They used to go around it too. And because there was a sacrifice at the Kaaba, they used to also do sacrifices there. This is very important. He also argues that how did shirk start in Arabia? After Ismail alayhi salam's children became many and their religion became dominant, they spread all over. They were too populated. They couldn't stay all in Mecca. So they spread all over Arabia. But when they spread all over Arabia, they missed the Kaaba, because the Kaaba is associated with Ibrahim and Ismail. So they used to take pieces of the stone with them to their own village area and do tawaf of it by themselves. Like they made their own tawaf ritual missing the Kaaba. Okay. And then later on, idols were brought in from Syria and other places for different kinds of needs. Anyway, the point is, many of these pagan rituals were inspired by what? The Kaaba, corrupted versions of what Ibrahim alayhi salam used to do. Now look at the anthropological view, the secular view. The secular view is, oh, they're worshiping these temples and they're going around them in circles, and the Muslims do it too. They must have learned it from them. So what do? They reverse engineer it. They put the cart before the horse, right? We're saying, and what Allah has taught us is Tawheed came first and they corrupted into shirk. And they flip it and they say, oh, you see, these people, they're doing tawaf here, but there was tawaf going on near Taif, and it was going on near Nakhla, and it was going on there. So this was like an Arab thing. This is how the Western academic or the secularist, when they look at this history, they try to look at it and re-engineer it in this way. Anyway, so some things about each of these, Lat and Uzza and then Manat. Lat was actually not in Mecca. Lat was a lady in Taif. And it was represented a lady or a guy. They were confused about that. But it was like a large cubic rock. And the Quraysh, even though this goddess was in Taif, they used to worship it too. And you know how we have like Abdullah or Abdurrahman, right? Or Amatullah and things like that. We have names that are associated with Allah. So they used to have names associated with Lat. So they'd say Taymul Lat or Zaydul Lat. They would name kids like that. So like we put Allah at the end. And even in Urdu, we have like, you know, Allah Ditta and whatever. We have these kinds of names. So the same way they used to name with the name of this goddess in it. Okay. And in the seerah, later on after the conquest of Islam, the report is that Rasulullah ﷺ instructed Mughira bin Shu'bah to destroy it, and he burned her temple down in Taif. So that's the few things we know. So we don't know a lot. We don't know a lot. We're going to come back to why we don't know a lot in a second. It's going to be important. Now, something more about Lat. Our Mufassirun are like, where does the word Lat come from anyway? So they're like, well, aslu lawyatun bi zinati fi'la min lawa li'annahum kanu yalwuna alayhi wa ya'takifuna lil'ibadah aw yaltawun alayhi yatufun. The root letters may be lam, waw, and ya, which means to lean. So they say they used to lean on it. They used to put bow before it. Or they used to do tawaf, leaning in circles on it, right? And that's why it's called lat. The thing you lean on or the thing you run around would be lat. So why do you worship lat? Because it's the thing you lean on. That's why I lean on it. That was their logic. Then other theory was, رَجُلٌ يَلِتُّ السَّوِيقِ لِلْحَاجِ عَلَى حِجَرْ فَلَمَّا مَاتَ عَبَدُوا ذَلِكَ الْحِجَرْ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ وَسَمُّهُ بِذَلِكَ. They say there was a guy that used to, when people used to go to Hajj, he used to give them a lot of food in Taif. On their way to Hajj, he would give them a lot of food. And when that guy died, he used to always be sitting by a rock when he would give them food. When that guy died, he disappeared. And they're like, oh, he went inside this rock and became a god. And since that guy's name was Lat, this became Lat. And they worshipped Lat. That's a lot to deal with. But you know, that's what they did. Anyway, today is going to be a dad joke day, just giving you a warning. Okay. أخرج الفاكهي عنه أنه لما مات قال له عمر إنه لم يمت ولكنه دخل الصخرة فعبدوها وبنوا عليها بيتا or بيتا actually. So they said he didn't die, he went inside the rock, so they started worshipping the rock of Lat because the guy used to give them really delicious pizza. Anyway, so then we get to Uzza. Uzza. The more it's so Uzza is more recent than Lat and Manat. Manat is older. Lat is older, so these two are the Uzza is the newest one, so it's a new kid on the block. Okay, appears as a theophoric element. I put the word theophoric there so you could feel like I'm really smart. I had to look it up too. So this material is taken from a research paper written by Sharif Rondawa. You can look it up. He's done a paper on the ancient gods that are mentioned in the Quran, the false gods that are mentioned in the Quran. Anyway. So that means that what this simply means is, you know how we say Abdullah, Abdurrahman, and they said Taymul Lat, right? So Abdul Uzza or Amatul Uzza, those kinds of names came later on. They're not ancient names. And that tells you that it's not as ancient of a god. This was a newer development. It was like a 2.0 or 8.0. I don't know what version. But that's what Uzza is. Uzza is, by the way, for those of you that are familiar with Arabic, Al-Uzza is the feminine form of Al-A'z. Al-A'z, like Ahsan is Husna, and Akbar is Kubra, and Al-A'z is Uzza. That's where Uzza comes from. Okay. So it's the female mighty one, the mightiest one. Okay. So that's how they think. And that's why the greatest goddess of the Quraysh was Al-Uzza. They dedicated rivers and ravines to her name. They also dedicated other places other than the Kaaba. This is Uzza's territory. There was this one area called Ghabghab. And they gave that to, they dedicated that place as a sacred place for Uzza until Khalid ibn Walid came and said, we're done with that. And he was instructed to get rid of Uzza. Okay. That's the second goddess. And then the third goddess, Manat, is because Manat comes, is related to Mani. And Mania means liquid or fluid. Sperm is also called Mani, but even blood dripping can be called Mani. And they said she's called Manat because when women come near her, they start menstruating and they start bleeding. And therefore, her name became Manat. Okay, that's great. This is fantastic. Why do you believe in Manat? Let me tell you. This is why you should follow this religion. This is a really good reason. Okay. So a goddess, this was a goddess that was worshipped actually in Yathrib. Yathrib later on got called what? Medina. So this was a goddess found in Medina. And they thought that Hajj is incomplete until they go to Hajj and come back. And until they pay visit to Manat, then the Hajj wasn't complete. That's how much they revered Manat. Okay. Now, get to the point. Do we have a lot of information about these or a little? When you ask the question, what is the significance of Lat? What did Lat do for them? What is the origin story of Lat? I mean, I know the origin story for Thor and Odin. I know the origin story, you know, some kids here play God of War or whatever. They know the Zeus story, at least the PlayStation version of it, not the Greek mythology version of it. What's the origin story of Lat? What does he do? Why should you believe in him? What guidance does he give you? Did he ever say anything? Did she rather ever say anything? Did Uzza teach you anything? What have you seen them do? Now, the word seeing is really important because the previous passage was about the ultimate vision of who? The Prophet ﷺ. And that's what they were making fun of. Oh, what did he see again? Oh, you're saying he saw Jerusalem and then he saw up in the heaven? And Allah turns that around and says, okay, let's talk about what you see. So, have you seen Lat, Manat, and Uzza? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَ And Manat الثَّالِثَ, the Manat, the third one, that is further away. Al-Ukhra, the other one, because it was all the way in Yathrib, right? So Taif is close and Yathrib is far. So Manat al-Thalithat al-Ukhra, farther away. Now, I want you to understand something. Looking is two things. Seeing is two things. Seeing is using my eyes and seeing is also understanding. Have you ever actually looked at this piece of stone? Like just look at it. And do you see anything more than stone? Like really look at it. You know, you're questioning what the Prophet sees and understands. Can you understand anything more than this? Have you ever? And the idea of seeing is to coming to believe, coming to understand. You know, I've written here the question, do people think about these religions and then convert? Like, can you imagine somebody in ancient Arabia says, let me tell you about Lat. It's like a rock, right? And it's like, it's really big. And like you lean on it. Want to go? I think you should convert. Like, have they given compelling reasons for any of? No, they haven't. You know why people follow these religions? Because they're born into families that follow these religions. Because everybody else around them is following these religions. It's not because they see the truth in it for themselves. They were told, don't ask questions, just do it. And the vast majority of people on this planet that follow any religion don't actually look into their own religion, including Muslims. Most Muslims on this planet are Muslims because they were born in a Muslim family. They actually don't know why they're Muslim. And in fact, the first exposure nowadays that they get to Islam is some kind of criticism of Islam, and they start questioning, why am I even Muslim? I never thought about it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm seeing a lot of issues. That's what happens to a lot of young people, right? And then they go ask their parents, but their parents never looked into the religion themselves. They were committed to praying five times, going to Hajj and all of that because that's what their parents told them to do. And that's what they did. And they feel comfortable in it. They're in their comfort zone. So when they start getting asked questions that their son or daughter learned from TikTok, from some famous atheist, then they're like, Rukya time. So the question Allah is asking, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ, have you seen, means have you analyzed, have you thought, have you looked at the evidences? And nowadays, atheists are asking that question. Have you studied the universe? Have you studied science? How can you study science and believe in a God? How can you study science and believe in religion? They're the ones asking the question. And the fun thing is, Allah was asking this question before them. And Allah wasn't saying, close your eyes, don't study the universe, don't look at the signs, don't look at, you know. He was saying, ask, look, explore, siru fil ard, fanzuru kayfa bada al khalq, go travel the world and find out how creation began. My God, this is a religion like no other religion. Even the religions of Arabia and other religions around the world tell you, shut up and follow. That's what they tell you. And this religion says, have you looked at what you're following? I want you to open your eyes and follow this religion, not close your eyes and follow this religion. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. I call to Allah with eyes open. It's a revolution in religions. What religion tells you to study science? Nowadays you think, religion is here, science is here. But this religion is telling you, go study. This teaching you engineering. People of faith are like teaching how to build a wall, like you know, Dhulqarnain is teaching engineering, you know. Dawud alayhi salam is building, you know, metallic like armor. They're crafting materials. Allah is telling you to travel and learn and explore. Siru fil ard, travel in the land. Ask, and when you come across other religions, ask them questions. And you know what people do when they want to convert other people from their religion? You think some Christian that wants to convert people to Islam is going to come to me? Or is it going to come to like Sheikh Yasser or somebody more knowledgeable than myself or whoever? They're not going to come to, when they look at you, they're like, looks like he doesn't know a lot about Islam. Let me tell him about Jesus. Because the idea is the less educated you are in your religion, the easier you will be to confuse, right? But you know what the Quran did? The Quran said, take these questions, go ask the rabbis, go ask the priests. Go ask the most knowledgeable people of other religions these questions. Don't just go after the general public who doesn't know much. Go after the top and give them hatu burhanakum. Bring your evidences. We'd like to see what's in your book. Fa'tu bit-taurati fatluha. Bring the Torah and read it. Let's have this conversation. That's what the Quran is saying. The same thing he's doing here. Afara'aytumul lata wal uzza wa manata thalithat al ukhra. You're comparing this. You don't even know where this comes from. You're comparing this and questioning what Allah has given to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by way of Jibreel. Oh, but let me tell you the origin of your religions, all of your religions. Instead of going into the origin story, I'll tell you the real origin. The real origin is a psychological origin. أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى. Oh, so you only get sons. He only gets daughters. That's the origin of your religions. But this represents something much larger. This represents something about all other false religions. It represents something about all forms of shirk. Daughters were leverage. You follow a religion in which you have some kind of leverage. So the Catholic will say, oh, saint whoever, right? And they'll have different kinds of saints. And they wear amulets of those saints, right? But the saints, I'm like, I mean, you guys downgraded even from Jesus? Like, why not just a Jesus amulet? No, because there's God, then there's Jesus, and then there's the saints. And actually, after that, there's the disciples, and then there's the saints. Right? And so you're like 4 degrees down, but like I told you, you're not dealing with the principal, you're dealing with the teacher. Right? So they move departments down, and they deal with them. Why? Because this saint will have leverage. We'll get my prayer answered. Right? They have some kind of leverage. And then sons were a strength and daughters were a weakness. So what is strong and preferable you want for yourself, and what is weak you give to God. By the way, this translates into not just belief, but also into practice. So you can have people that, when I was telling, like Allah says, the good things, you won't achieve goodness until you spend out of the things that you love. Because people love to spend out of things that they don't love. Like, for example, in this country, when you donate, you can get a tax exemption, right? So it's a tax deductible donation that you can give to 501c3s, right? So registered nonprofits, etc. So you're like, well, this money was going to go to tax anyway, so we might as well give it to Allah. But what's the IRS limit on deductions? That will determine the limit of my donation to the masjid. This is alakum al-dhakaru wa lahu al-untha nowadays. When you decide, oh, any more than this is beyond my comfort zone. No. Give Allah, this is the version of daughters, we'll keep the sons. Give him these funds. أَفَأَصْفَاكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِالْبَنِينَ. Allah preferred for you to have sons. وَاتَّخَذَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنَاثًا. And he took daughters from the angels. I see. إِنَّكُمْ لَتَقُولُونَ قَوْلًا عَظِيمًا. Now, the angels, interestingly, because they were associated with daughters and they considered daughters a weakness, the angels are being associated with weakness, which directly contrasts what Allah says right before. عَلَّمَهُ وَاتْ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. Now the thing is, let me ask the young men here. If a young man who's working out, strong, etc., and somebody passes by and says, how you doing, girl? If you call a tough guy a girl, what's going to happen? You try that in a gym. If you ever go to a gym and you see one of the biggest dudes there, it's like, how's it going, girl? What's going to happen from there? I mean, nowadays, I don't know. I'm not sure what might happen. But would they be offended? Yeah. Who are you messing with, man? So when you call angels females and you associate them with weakness, and you're saying all of these things while Jibreel alayhi salam is actually around and the legions of angels are around, do you even know who you're messing with? Like, it's one thing you're messing with Allah. That's already there. You're messing with Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But you're also messing with the angels. Stupid. So is alakum al-dhakaru wa lahu al-untha is like it's a threat. It's actually a threat. And this is actually, I told you about strands, right? Like each surah has a strand, like the Quran strand in the beginning. This is a strand from Surah At-Tur. Surah At-Tur, Allah says, am lahu al-banat wa lakum al-banun. He's going to have daughters, you'll have sons. He asked the same question. Now he's bringing that strand up again. If we had more time in this week, I would show you how that strand develops. Like, how was it talked about in that surah? And how is it talked about in this surah? But I'm going to let you do tadabbur on that. Because that's kind of why you're here too, right? So one last quick thing. Actually, it's not a quick thing. So I will not do it now. I will stop here, inshallah, and we will continue after the salah.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the deeper look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on BayyinahTV.com under the Deeper Look section.